everybody. We're back for a Sunday edition Throw It in the Ocean podcast. We have our very first guest on the podcast today. Michael, are you there? Yoast.
I'm here. I'm the first guest ever on the podcast. Great to be here for the first time.
Nice. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
So we've got...
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got Joe Slaviak on the podcast today. Longtime friend. Grew up together with Michael and I in Du Bois, and we're happy to have you on. We'll get into some, I don't know what we're going to get into, I guess. Probably be a little sports heavy. We'll go back and cover some rankings, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Want to give a shout out to today's sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Broing Airplanes, the frat boy airplane of choice.
Like it. I like it. Yeah, man. First guest on, Joe Slaviak. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well.
Good.
How about you guys?
We're doing good, man. We're on the other side of Christmas. It's Todd and I were talking a little earlier, you know, the high from Christmas break, and now we're on the other side where it's just downhill until next Christmas. So,
yeah, bearing down on 2021.
Right.
I don't know. I guess everybody, I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are, Joe, because Yoast and I have talked about it a lot, but has 2020 been rough for you?
You know, I don't think as much as some other people. I work at school, so we were able to stay in school this year, and that's been really nice.
Yeah.
And we're everything lucky. Been staying in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're set up to go online if we have to.
Right.
Which is pretty smart, but luckily we haven't had to yet.
So when March 13th hit, I mean, that's kind of the date when we shut down here. Did you guys have to go online for the rest of the year? Or did you guys just stay in person and tough it out?
No, yeah, we did have to go online for that. And okay. That was rough.
Yeah, that is. So what do you, because I don't even really know. What are you, in the school district, what are you doing?
I'm a paraprofessional. So
nice, okay.
A teacher's aide.
Right, you're doing the grunt work and the work that oftentimes, especially with the ones in high school, those people get overlooked a lot. Like they're doing just the same stuff, but they're, you know, they don't get a lot of the credit. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the, I guess you didn't mention it, Joe, but, and I think we'll probably talk about it because I know Yoast was wanting to talk a little bit about it in general, but you're doing quite a bit of coaching, right?
Yeah. This is my seventh year of coaching now.
Dang.
What are you coaching exactly?
This year I'm coaching high school girls basketball, and we finished our middle school girls basketball season.
Right.
But I've also done middle school boys and high school boys as well.
So no high school boys this year, right?
No.
Okay.
Last year we didn't have a girls team. We didn't have enough girls. So.
Oh, dang. Yeah. So, hey, let's touch on that real quick.
Yeah.
How many girls and boys are in the high school? Because as far as I know, it's K through 12 all in the same building, right?
Right.
So how many people are we talking are in the building, like student-wise?
I don't know the exact numbers. I think high school, I want to say between 40 and 50 kids.
Right. Like, so having trying to scramble together some athletes can be quite a mission.
It is.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. For reference for anybody, so this is where Todd and I grew up. I don't know how many people were in your graduating class. I had 18.
I think we had about, I think we were about the same.
Right.
You only had 18?
Yeah, we had 18.
Okay.
You had 18 graduating, but you had many more in your class.
Yeah, we had a few that just disappeared. So, so I'd say maybe 20, 21 total, but 18 graduated.
And we were like on the tail end of being 2A, so we had more kids, and then it's declined since then.
Right. Yes, was your last year... Were you guys still 2A or did you drop to 1A?
We were 1A our last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so your senior year. And also, I can never remember, but was that when Scott Thomas took over? Mm-hmm. That your senior year?
Yep.
Nice. Okay. After that it kind of went downhill until Kyle took over. So
yeah, basically.
Yeah. There was a coach that was in there before him, and I know he took a team to state, but I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, that was Walker Carrico's grandpa.
Gotcha.
I forget his first name.
Yep. Yeah, because I remember watching them in state. They were playing at Casper College. So, nice. So yeah, 7 years of coaching. I think I've got, this is my second year of high school, and I did 4 of middle school. So I'm right at 6.
Okay.
High school is, I don't know how, with less kids and smaller school and stuff like that, with, I don't know the resources that you guys have, but like, our team right now, we're at like 43 kids. We have freshman team, sophomore team, JV team, and then our varsity.
Oh, wow.
So game days are busy and they're stressful. There's just a lot going on. So
what level are you coaching?
I'm at the freshman level right now.
Cool. Where is this?
In Spearfish, South Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like the freshman level because it's still that stage of learning a lot.
Yeah.
And our head coach does a really good job of working with the younger teams to get them ready for when they get to high school. But also being the freshman coach, there's just like, you know, not a lot of responsibility, and a lot of the grunt work, I guess, falls on me, which is fine. You got to pay your dues, but
right.
I definitely know that I would not want to be a head coach anytime soon when that was like my goal a couple years ago.
Really?
Because there's so much involved that I didn't even understand. So
yeah, and at that many kids and where you're at, there's a lot more to do than probably I have to do.
So are you the head girls high school coach?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Looks good on a resume.
Heck yeah. What got you into coaching? You were obviously around in our hometown for a bit, and then, you know, was there an opening, or was it something you were actively looking for?
Well, the girls head coach at the time, she's like, well, you should apply. And because we were on the same softball team and we were friends and stuff. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I applied and got the job and I loved it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what opened the door for me at school for the other position, because I started coaching before I worked at the school.
Okay. Yep.
That's kind of, and then backwards.
I was going to say, it's kind of usually you get the job first, and then, but that's good. Cause like, as far as I know, and as far, maybe it's changed in Dubois for a while, but like, there's only a few good jobs in town because it's so small. And the school is definitely one of those jobs. And once you're in there, you're in there. And you, if you're a certified teacher or a para or the lunch lady, you might be asked to do anything at any given time just because they need people.
Pretty much.
So nice. We have, I think at our high school, we're at like 700 kids total.
Oh, wow.
So for us, their system here is a little bit different. So we're considered double A. We're one of the smallest double A schools. And that's like the highest. So we match up with like Sioux Falls schools that have 700 per class instead of per the whole school. So, it definitely shows when we go and play people, we say East River or East side of the state, because we're playing future college athletes, future professional athletes. And we got kids that can't stop vaping when they get a chance. So it's like, you know, it's like unfair right out of the gate.
I definitely get it.
Yeah. Do you guys, and that this is where I'm like super curious, cause both all of us, Todd, Joe, and myself all grew up playing basketball and sports in Dubois with limited resources. I mean, we had a weight room, but it felt like it was never utilized. Do you guys have a weightlifting program that kind of goes with your sports teams?
I mean, just the same class. I think you took it too, and Todd, physical conditioning class in school.
Yep.
And then as far as weightlifting outside of school, Tremblay opens the gym for everybody, but there's no like set schedule or anything.
Right. And so we actually are partnered with our hospital in the area, Monument Health, and we have our own strength and conditioning coach that comes in early in the mornings and late after school, and teams sign up in season and out of season, and you lift with your team on a schedule and you track your progress and stuff. None of it's helped at all though. Nobody takes it seriously. The coach is amazing, but the kids just don't take anything seriously, and so
that's too bad.
Yeah, it's
here's a interesting thought that you just made me register that I'm gonna bring up to you guys. But so thinking back for me, and you guys tell me if this applies, but I don't remember being interested in lifting weights or working on my general fitness for the sake of being fit in high school. There was a time where we did the jump program just right. for basketball and things like that. I wonder if that translates to what you just said, Yost. Like, it took me until probably tail end of college and then enter in the real world until I was like, man, I should. And then started work out like almost every day.
Oh, for sure. I didn't find a weight room until like 5 years ago. Like, my way of staying in shape, which was still never in great shape, was always basketball. Like, when we were at Half Acre, you know, playing 5 days a week, or, you know, going home and playing. Like, I never considered lifting weights as a way of getting in shape, I guess.
It's kind of unfortunate. I feel like that's a really good time to kind of build a base for the rest of your life. And not only just for that, but just to be ahead of a lot of the other high school athletes, right. Don't you think?
Well, I would have to imagine, as small as our school was, if you had anybody on football or basketball or volleyball, whatever it is, that lifted weights consistently, they probably would have been a juggernaut when it came to sports. I mean, the first person I think of is Austin Baker.
Well, that's, there's a couple outliers that were that way. And I can think of, he's one, there's a handful, maybe one in your class or above your class, but man, right. There wasn't really that guy in Joe in my class. Was there Joe?
No.
Wait, you're telling me Cody Day wasn't hitting the weight room every day? Oh man. I was thinking about the rosters of high school, and I kind of had it figured out to where we almost had like five or six per class by the time I was a senior for basketball.
Oh yeah, we did.
I'm trying to think. I can't think if there was anybody else that I would have missed in your guys' class that played. Because I remember Shea Lewis in the Dada shoes, you know, with the spinners in them.
Shea Rose.
Shea Lewis was the one below. But I couldn't think of anybody that I missed in your guys' class. Besides all the guys that we played ball with. We went to, you know, we were at Laramie with, and, you know, your friend group, everybody. I'm pretty sure I can't think of anybody else that would have been in there that we forgot about. And then I had to throw John Ludi in there because I forgot that he even participated.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the John Ludi episode, but the regional semifinal game against Big Piney my senior year when we were beating him really bad, and coach decided to put John in for like the last 2 minutes as a senior. And the only play that he got to be a part of was a chase down block from a kid on Big Piney that just smashed him off the backboard and knocked John over. So that was hilarious.
Highlight of his career.
Speaking of, so for those of you, obviously, most people listening have no idea about Dubois High School basketball. But one of the stories that I tell kids a lot on our team about, you know, understanding your strengths and stuff like that on the team. So when I was a senior, we were playing Pinedale in the championship, and it was a close game at the end. And within free throw range, you know, 2 or 3 points, they call a timeout. As I'm walking by Pinedale's huddle, I heard their coach just say, "Let's just hack Yost. He can't shoot free throws."
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I remember going to Tim Bell, our coach at the time, just literally the next Coach K. I don't know why he never got there. I remember telling him, I was like, "Hey, take me out of the game, put Joe in for free throws because they're going to just foul me." And you went in, and I think you pretty much sealed that game with free throws down the line that won us that regional championship. So if there's anything you want to hang your hat on, I think it's that regional championship game.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah, it was. It's like insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but it's always cool to look back. And,
yeah, for sure. And think I remember, I don't know if I should say his name, but Eric. Got the ball, and I was like, "Give me the ball!" And they fouled him before he could pass it to me. I was like, "Oh, great!"
Right?
And, and then he goes up and bricks like two.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the dynamic between, like my class especially, like we just kind of we got along really well. I remember, but a lot of us wanted to contribute more, and it caused a lot of issues, I know, throughout the season, but a lot of that was like coaching decisions too. But
Well, let me tell you what I remember from that basketball game.
Yeah.
I remember watching it from the stands.
Right.
Because I wasn't best friends with the coach at the time.
Tim Bell did not like you.
Yeah. No. I don't get that.
I wasn't going to bring it up and say because I'm pretty sure out of your class, Joe, it was you and Logan and Shay that played varsity.
And was Cody was there.
Okay, Cody. So, Todd, if that doesn't hurt that he picked Cody over you, I don't know what does. Because Cody was little then. Like,
you know,
I haven't seen the guy lately, so I don't know if he's grown any. But like, he was small in high school.
That my feeling about that whole era is the Michael Jordan meme where he's like, and that shit pissed me off, or I took that shit personal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's my attitude about it.
Hey, I'll be the first to say Tim Bell was one, and if he's listening, take this personally, Tim. You were a horrible coach. I didn't have Scott. I didn't have Scott Thomas, the luxury of having him as a coach, but I liked him more. You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah.
He was easier to get along with. He was easier to talk to and all that stuff.
So. And that was his first year of coaching when we got him.
Right. Yeah. And I wish he would have stuck around.
Yeah. And he did coach some in Cokeville too.
Yeah, and then where is he now?
He's still in Cokeville.
Okay, so he's still like, I follow him on Facebook, and he's got 100 kids now, and they're all in college, which makes me feel really old.
Right.
But yeah, Tim just didn't know. This is I'm going to head into this because this is what I really want to ask you. Tim just didn't know the game well. Mm-hmm. He might have played when he was younger, but he just didn't know the game well, and he got really lucky that he had good players come through while he was there. So jumping into this, what was it like for you, and maybe you're still dealing with it because I know I am, transitioning from player to coach? Like, my struggle right now is I know the game pretty well, but there's sometimes where I have a hard time showing it or demonstrating it. You know what I mean? Because I'm just used to, it's like automatic sometimes on like what to do on certain screens or certain cuts, but then I have to explain it and the kids just like glaze over because I'm like horrible explaining it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I think, the toughest challenge is going from playing and then being able to communicate what you're trying to get across. And I think with time it gets easier, but it's definitely explaining, communicating what you already know kind of in your body.
Right.
You know?
So your coaching style, what would you think your coaching style is? Like your philosophy, you like defense, you like offense, you kind of.
Yeah, I'm definitely defensive first.
Right.
And this year,
to coach.
Yeah. And this year I've really taken steps towards understanding offense more. And
right.
Cause last year, like I'm thinking of middle school, we were solid in defense, but we just couldn't score the ball. And this year we were able to score the ball and we did really well.
Nice.
But yeah, definitely defensive first.
What do you guys do for defense? A lot of man, do you do full court stuff?
Yeah. So I was a zone guy.
Yeah.
And then this year we switched it to man, and I'm kind of sold on man now. And I'm looking in a lot of like Texas Tech and Baylor. I'd love to do what they do eventually.
Yeah. That would be great. I was a big zone guy too. And in fact, like some of the full court pressure stuff we do, we drop back into a zone.
Yeah.
But it's more out of convenience because our kids just get lost. Like they're like, wait, this guy isn't mine. I shouldn't guard him. And they run away from him and go. Yeah. So,
and but we had the middle schoolers just, we did a zone press, like a three quarter zone press, and they actually fall back into man and they just guard whoever they back into. Yeah.
That's impressive. We've got guys at the sophomore level that still do it that are like, you know, you score the basket and they take it out. Well, your guy might be full court, so they'll leave the ball and run and guard the guy full court while the ball just dribbles right in a straight line for a layup.
I hate that. Yeah.
So it's so annoying. But you know, we're getting there. Our varsity likes to do a lot of we call, you know, trapping stuff. We call it hang loose. So it's like a three quarter court trap. running and flying at the ball. You know, I think of it a lot of like native basketball.
Oh, nice.
Where it's like create a pass with a lot of air under it, and then it's our ball. And we just, you know, we got athletic kids that can get up and steal it and stuff like that. So we do a lot of cool stuff like that. But we're also playing kids who are my like 6'9", 250 that are committed to Wisconsin as a junior in high school. So,
really,
yeah, that kid dropped 48 points on us for his first game. So, so it's, you know, we're running into freaks of nature every once in a while, which is, mm-hmm. is tough to defend, but that's good to hear though. I like picking brains of other coaches. I actually want to talk, I want to have Kyle on too, because I want to just talk to him about like the stuff he's doing with the men's program. Cause he's kind of how I don't know a lot of his basketball philosophy, and I'm sure you fall into the same boat as like I would and he does, but like you guys are good at building relationships with the kids, so they'll pretty much do anything for you.
Yeah, and Kyle's huge on that, and right. He does a good job of that.
Yeah, it's hard to play for a coach you don't like.
Right.
So, yeah, and it seems like he got coach of the year, what, like 2 years ago, something like that,
mm-hmm.
for Fremont County, so super impressive, and it's good. Yeah, it's cool to hear that you're jumping into it. What are your plans on teaching? Do you plan on staying in that position, or would you like to try and move up into something different?
My end goal, I would like to be a math teacher.
Ooh.
I don't have the degree for it, so I'd have to go back to school.
You can't get into it. There's no other avenue.
No, I've looked into it, and I wish I would have. Now, looking back, you know, got a teaching degree in college, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I guess that's we didn't really mention that. But so, yeah, we all went to, you and I, especially Joe, went to University of Wyoming together at the same time in the engineering program. We went down different avenues for the most part. And then did you finish? What was your actual engineering degree in? Civil?
Yeah, I ended up getting the same thing as you, but I was further behind because I ended up switching majors. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but now you teach and coach, so.
Yeah. So I'm looking, I pulled it up real quick, and I'd have to read into it more, like Wyoming Alternative Teacher Certification. And if it's as easy as it says in the first like couple paragraphs, you could just take the praxis for the content area that you want to do. Since you already have a bachelor's, but I'd have to read more into it and see specific, like what they would need for it.
And I was looking into that too. And it's more for like, occupational.
Teaching. Right. It's like CTE stuff. And yeah. Mm-hmm. And plus the math praxis, I've never taken it, but I know a guy who, recently worked for our school district, who was trying to pass it for the seventh time. So, and I'll be honest, I don't think it's that hard. I just think, I'm not going to say it, but we know where I'm going with this. Like, I think it's difficult because it's math, but I think if you put in a little bit of time, you'd be fine. But
mm-hmm.
plus Wyoming pays teachers well, man. they get paid really well there. So
yeah, for sure.
Go ahead, Todd.
Oh no, I was going to shift. So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask about, have you looked into any opportunities to use your, I mean, now that you're teaching and coaching and you're happy, that's the end goal. But have you looked into any avenues as far as like getting into engineering stuff there, or have you just kind of been like, that boat sailed, I'm good where I'm at?
Yeah, basically the latter, just that boat sailed. I want to teach now. I think I found my calling, my passion.
I feel like you'd be a great teacher, and especially in your hometown, like, you know, it's just nice to give back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it is.
You grew up there, and now you get a chance to be a part of the whole thing. And I haven't been to Dubois in like 5+ years. So the last time I was there, they just demolished the high school, which was a sad day.
Yeah.
but
that's actually what I was going to ask. Ask Joe about was just since we all grew up there, and I make it back there minimum once a year because of Brandy's family. But you know, what's it like living day to day in our hometown? I guess, you know, it's probably been long enough. You don't notice you don't know any different at this point, but it would, it, for me, not having lived there for, I don't know, what are we looking at? 15 years almost. It just, I just curious to, what do you, you know, do you miss some of the creature comforts like you had when we were in college or anything like that, Joe?
I definitely like living here. You don't have as many opportunities and things to do, I guess, as a lot of places, but I like doing outdoor stuff, so it fits me well.
Yeah.
But Dubois is also growing now, it feels like, so that's nice.
Don't they have like a dollar store now?
Yeah, we have a Family Dollar.
Heck yeah.
And we're getting a bowling alley. That's a big step. Yeah.
Wow, okay. That'd be nice.
This is actually a good thing to talk about. So I know vaguely about this, and Joe, you're going to have to fill in the gaps. But so there's a extremely wealthy person who's putting a lot of money into the area, buying lots of land. From what I heard a while back, they're the ones that are building the bowling alley. Is that still true?
Yeah, it's his wife kind of running it, I guess. And he built this huge military vehicle museum.
Oh, yep. Yeah. I didn't hear about that.
I haven't even been to it yet, which I definitely need to, but I've heard it's really impressive.
So I got to know. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, here's my question about the military vehicle museum, which I would love to see. And I've seen pictures of it and it looks amazing and it's cool that it's there. But like, what is there something that like specific about Dubois that he put it there? Like, knowing Dubois, it's not like we manufactured military vehicles there. So yeah. I'm just curious how it ended up there, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird place to have one.
Right. But it'd be like if you put a museum for, you know, gold mining there when it really wasn't a gold mining area. So right. Yeah, I don't know. It's really cool though. And it's awesome that it's there. And of course it's bringing in people. So
I just wonder if it's because he moved here and Wyoming maybe doesn't have as many regulations to go through, I wonder.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the museum's there because he wants to be there. And that's what I was going to say. What the heck is he, what's the goal? Or, you know, what brought him there? Is it just the fact that it's darn close to Yellowstone and Jackson and he could get a ton of property and land and kind of, you know, start to build a mini empire?
yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, at this point in his life and spend some of that money that he's earned throughout his career, or, you know, it just, that's the kind of stuff I think about. He's like, it's like, what is his goal in doing everything?
And a lot of people love what he's doing, but there's other people that are kind of questioning what he's doing.
Well, because he's turning, he's closing off a lot of areas that used to be kind of, they weren't public lands, but they were owned by somebody that let the community use those lands.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the stories I've heard.
Is his name Dan Starks?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking up his net worth. So just curious about the guy. I mean, you know, it's kind of weird, like, to think that our hometown could be turned into anything different because it's literally in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, the day he puts a Chick-fil-A in, I'm moving back, right? You'll see me there. You'll see me there breaking ground with him. You know, I'll have the golden shovel, but I do imagine some of the older people that have been living there for a while are probably a little nervous.
Yeah, we don't know if he's trying to preserve Dubois or turn it into a Jackson Hole, you know?
Right, which is, yeah, that'd be kind of a nightmare. But
well, if you see him, tell him he's welcome on anytime.
Okay.
We'll interview
actually,
him.
Yeah, we won't even like, we'll just grill him on his intentions, be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You what, need to tell him to buy the golf course so he can put some money into it.
So, I wish he was a golfer. Yeah. But that bowling alley is going to have a golf simulator, so I'm pretty excited about that.
You better where make sure he at? Gets a good one.
I know. It's right above like the post office and the dollar store.
So like near where the old school used to be?
Yeah, the old elementary school.
The old school, yeah, right. The one that was falling down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I used to live in those brown apartments that were like right across there. So.
Oh, yeah. So did I.
Yeah, that's right, actually. Small world. Well, small town. So how's the family doing? What are they up to these days?
They're good. My mom and dad are both retired now. So
nice.
My dad stays pretty active. He guides in the fall and
nice.
Does some plumbing for one of the guys in town.
Okay.
Just a bunch of little odd jobs to keep him busy.
Keep him busy. Yep, that's the name of the game. What about Mike? What's he up to?
And Mike's here in town too, and he's also a plumber.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I think I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, in that town, man, you can definitely earn a really honest living there. It's just you gotta grind a little bit to get into the right spot. That's for sure. It seems like
you do. A lot of people have two jobs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean,
what have you been doing in the summertime, Joe, when school's out, or what's your plan for this upcoming year?
So the last three summers I worked at the Longhorn. It's a motel and RV place.
Yep.
Okay.
Just work at the front desk.
Nice. Extra cash. Always good.
Yep.
Except it gets in the way of golfing, though.
I know.
I knew. So for everybody listening, Todd and Joe are golfers, and they're not just Sunday swingers. I don't even know if that's a term you use in golf. It also could be used in sex, I guess. But they're both above average golfers, whether they believe that or not. They both compete at a high level. Whether that's a high level inebriated or a high level completely sober, I would argue that you probably would absolutely destroy some people completely drunk that if, and they're sober. That's kind of how I would gauge your guys' skill in golf. You could be absolutely zooted and playing against me, and you're still beating me by 40 strokes. So, golf has been a big part of your guys' life, though. I mean, both of you. You both. It's your number one hobby when you're not doing things, as far as I know, and so.
Yep.
How did that change this year, I guess? Were you able to golf as much, or?
You know, it didn't really change that much.
That's good.
Riverton, they didn't really change any of their rules for COVID either, so.
Right, yeah.
That's kind of nice.
Wyoming seemed like they were one of the last, besides here in South Dakota, to really enforce anything and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, I hope it... I mean, we're all in for whatever is going to come in 2021, but I hope by the time, you know, late spring and stuff starts to turn green and people want to start get out and doing stuff again, that it's a little more normal, because I think the increases in COVID late this year are going to carry some of that panic into the spring next year. But, you know, like Joe just said, we played, I think we played three state events together. Is that, or maybe just two? I can't remember, Joe.
I think it was three.
Yeah, I think it was three. And so we traveled and met up in the various places in Wyoming to play those tournaments, stayed in a hotel or motel and or at my house. And but yeah, it felt like normal world at those events. Like the state golf thing was almost like COVID didn't exist, unless you needed to go in the clubhouse. But... It was kind of nice.
And golf seems like one of the sports where it really shouldn't have much of impact on it. Like you're out on your, at most you're in a group of four, just stay away from each other. You're outside. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Yeah. The only thing that really changed was riding in carts with people and, and pulling the flag stick.
Really?
Yeah.
What changed with that?
Some places you couldn't pull the flag stick, because you were touching it, and then like ball washers, they didn't have out.
Nope. Wow. Drink water coolers, stuff right. like that.
It's interesting. It just seems so insignificant. But you know, I get it.
I love like,
the flag.
I know, right?
The hilarity of the flag thing, because so we went and played the state mid-am in Casper at Three Crowns, and the practice round day. Since we were in a group, they let us ride in carts together, whatever. We were, we traveled and we're staying together. But the course rules, the local rules, were no touching the flags and all those other things we're talking about. And they had the little pool noodle in the bottom, so you don't have to reach all the way in the cup. And which that's ludicrous, if you ask me. But then, like literally 12 hours later, we tee off with 80 people in the tournament, and it's just like normal golf. All that rules right. are out the window.
Yes.
So from your guys' perspective. Did that, I mean, there's definitely situations where if the pin stays in, it could mess you a little bit. Did you ever run into those situations?
Well, I don't care for it at all.
When
you're just playing a round of golf, like just playing, you know, practice round or just for fun, I suppose if I was shooting out of my mind or something, I'd be like, I wish I could pull this damn flag, but I never, it never affected me, I guess. But
yeah.
Well, and it's funny that the rule, they made a rule, what was it, Todd, like 2 or 3 years ago, that you don't have to pull the flag stick anymore if you're on the green.
Right.
Really?
And so that didn't affect you rules wise.
Right. That's interesting. I wonder what the what would be the reason to just not have to pull the pin anymore, the flag.
It was, I don't know what drove that change. I think they just, I think, I don't know if
there was a time thing, because that's big in the PGA right now.
That could be.
Is trying to speed up the game, but I don't really think it changed anything at all.
30 seconds.
Because they all pulled a flag now anyways.
If anything, it takes more time, because then you got one guy in the group that wants it in.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I was just thinking back to the last time I was in Dubois, and it would have been for Mike's wedding, Mike and Rachel, and when all of us went golfing a couple times at the course there in Dubois.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember how funny it was playing with you guys, so like obviously being a lower level golfer, but like Joe, especially knowing the course as well as you do, you're basically just playing – like shortcuts, like, oh yeah, the flag's over there, this is a par five, but I can get there in one if I hit it over this mountain. And so so I thought that was funny. It's just like we're playing nine holes, but like the way you played it, we could have, it was basically putt putt for you, because you're just taking like the shortcuts that are like, hey, if you make it, guaranteed to win, but if you don't, you're absolutely screwed.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
So Joe, and, what
you're good.
I was going to say, did you, with Christmas, we just came out of Christmas, did you get any golf stuff for the next season?
I got some golf balls from Mike and Madison, but they're Strata golf balls. It's like, okay, thanks. It was a nice gesture, but.
Right.
Nah, that's all you can ask for. That's the hard part about kind of being a little bit, I don't know what I was going to say. Like just being a little bit picky about your equipment and what you use. Like it's hard for people to get you stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there a golf ball that is like in your guys' eyes that it is better than the Pro V1 yet or no? Is that still the go-to?
I don't think there's one. I don't think necessarily better. I think there are equals now.
Comparable.
Yeah.
Which
there didn't used to be.
Yeah. I remember when I was big into golfing, I got golf balls from my girlfriend at the time's parents, and they were like the recycled like range balls that they repackaged at Walmart. And I just remember being like, oh, thanks. But then I was like, wait, I'm going to lose these anyways. So it was probably a good idea.
And Todd, you're playing TaylorMade's now though, aren't you?
I do. I play the TaylorMade TP5 X ball. I think it's a little more durable for me. Well, I could hit a Pro V1 with a wedge. It's scuffed after one pure wedge shot. So
interesting.
So yeah.
We should,
$5 a ball.
Start a golf podcast.
Yeah, we should.
Honestly.
I know. So speaking of golf, just give everybody the heads up. I don't know if you've completed your entry yet, but so I submitted mine and another friend of ours from Gillette, Chris's entry forms for the Mesquite trip. So we do a week-long trip down to Mesquite, play like 5 or 6 different courses. This year it is the last week of March, and I think it actually ends in the first part of April. Did you, you looking forward to that, Joe? Did you get your form in?
I haven't got my form in yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do it, so.
Heck yeah. I think hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, that they hold it regardless of what's happening. And if people don't want to go, then they don't have to go. But I missed it this year. That week of disconnect is pretty huge, and not paying attention to the work phone and emails and stuff is really nice. So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
So along those lines, where I was going with that is golf in 2021. I always set myself a couple golf goals. So I carried one over last year. Which I did not accomplish. I came damn close, but it was to break 70. And so now, since I don't have a membership at a home course, the courses I'm playing are, you know, I've played most of them, but they're like real, you know, I'm playing different courses and long courses and in tournaments and stuff like that. So it's tough to break 70 on a yearly basis when I don't have a home track where I'm playing the same course every week, multiple times potentially. So, but yeah, what do you have any golf goals, I guess, coming up?
Off the top of my head, I guess I've been playing Riverton quite a bit. This last year I was a member. And my goal there would be to shoot par, because I've never shot par there. I've been close. Oh, yeah.
I love that course. That's, I guess, more background for people. Joe and I played high school golf together. Growing up in Dubois, we actually played for Riverton because we didn't have a team. So we played 4A high school golf at the Riverton Country Club, which is it's one of my favorite courses in the state. You know, maybe not the most scenic, but it's just a really good track. So it is if you know how to play it, you can manage your way around it. And if you get out of shape, you can shoot some high numbers. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, maybe just shooting in the 70s at this point is always a goal.
Heck yeah.
Do either of you, I know Todd and I have talked about it. Do either of you ever just think about dropping everything you got and just trying to go pro? Or do you think it's too late?
Todd, you go first on this.
I kind of answered it. Yost asked me a while back.
Okay.
But I do love that pipe dream and haven't fully let go of that. But I kind of sense that it's a little too late because I have a life. You know, I run our office for my engineering company here. And I don't know, it's tough to even picture doing that. I would love the opportunity to do it, but it would take a significant change to make something like that work, I guess.
Yeah, and I think I had the same ideas or the same aspirations to try to go big in golf, but the more you grow up and you realize how much work goes into it, it's just, it would take a lot.
Yeah.
And you probably have to move away from Dubois because you got to go somewhere where you can golf year-round.
More often.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said to Yost, I think. Yeah. I said, I think you'd have to move to Arizona or Florida or somewhere where you could literally play and practice year-round and honestly mostly be practice. You'd just be grinding.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I've looked into like the mini tours in the summer because those would be doable, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
They still take a lot of talent, a lot of work, even to compete in those.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you guys my next best thing for me is to someday build myself my own indoor simulator. I mean, I did the mini range on my backyard with the net so that at least I can swing the club in the off season. But if I was thinking with a full simulator setup, you could practice and hit shots year round. And that would probably be the closest I could come to being able to, I don't know, to even just play year round. Cause that's something we've never had, you know, growing up in Wyoming.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm with you there, Todd.
It's expensive though.
Yeah. I just looked them up real quick and I mean, I don't even know how good this one is, but it's $16,000. So
I think when I've kind of figured, even if I built my own enclosure outdoor, kind of more like a shop thing, and the simulator and the kind of equipment, I think you're looking at $25,000 probably.
Yeah.
If you did it yourself, more, way more if you have somebody else do it.
As an engineer, that's what, like 2 days of work?
I wish.
I always think it's funny. So we talk like, to our buddy Jim about him working, and we always give him a hard time because he's in the oil industry, and so we always make fun of him because he's got like the oil baron money. but like realistically, I have no idea how much money Todd and Jim make. I just know it's way more than a teacher makes. So instead of just being like they could make $1,000 more than I do a year, my mind automatically jumps to they're making millions of dollars a year. So it's like no big deal. But
yeah, it's life interesting.
Speaking of the teacher, when do you go back, Joe? When are you going back to school?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
We might have lost him.
I see him there.
It's grayed out, though.
It's grayed out, though, yeah.
Maybe he had an internet problem.
Yeah, we might have.
Just while his thing works out, I was going to say, on the salary front, it's really weird. it feels like to me, the more money, until you start making tons of money, like $250,000 a year, yeah, it doesn't really change most people's lives, because
right,
you're paying more into taxes and you're paying more into retirement, yeah, and you're paying more into, like, it's incremental. You know what I mean? I felt like I was rich when I worked a summer job in college, when I made 14 or 16 bucks an hour and got time and a half. And I was like, dude, I'm loaded.
You're rolling in the money.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that's just different. I guess it's relative.
And it seems like no matter what, if your salary increases, your, not necessarily your cost of living, but like how you want to live comfortably increases.
Exactly.
So you're always going to kind of be borderline paycheck to paycheck until you kind of get your shit together.
Yep.
Because especially when you first come into new money, it's hard not to just drop all of it and be, you know, in a tough spot for a couple months. I mean, that's what happened when we bought a house.
Oh yeah.
We were like, well, now we got all this space with nothing in it. And then it was like, boom, couch, boom, grill, boom, chairs, boom, table. And the next thing you know, we're like, hey, we got to pump the brakes here for a second. So, but then it's always coming in, which is a nice feeling. Like, it's not like, I might not get paid as much this month. It's the same amount every single month, which is great. So,
heck yeah.
Looking at our technical things here, maybe see if Joe can reconnect.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. He looks like Joe dropped. Oh, there he is.
Are you back?
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Ah, no worries.
We'll have a little gap there, and we'll have to splice you in two pieces, but it'll be all right.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll leave it. We covered it nicely. I was asking, I don't know if you heard me, I was seeing what time or what day you guys go back to school.
Oh yeah. I think the 2nd or 3rd of January, whatever that day, that Monday is.
I believe it's the 4th, because I think that's when we're heading back to.
Okay, so nice.
So we got a week of, another week off, and then we're back into it. So,
and are you coaching? Is that your main position?
Yeah. So I'm a teacher at the high school too.
Oh.
I teach academic life skills.
Oh,
which
nice.
Every time somebody asks me what it is, I give them a different answer, because it's just a ever evolving classroom. Even down to, so we have 90-minute classes, so we have 4 classes a day. It's at its core, it's a guided study hall for kids who need more time, higher risk kids and stuff like that. But some days it's a, you know, we're learning how to fill out job applications and do resumes. And the next day we're dealing with addiction and, you know, coping skills and stuff like that. So
That's cool. It's
just kind of whatever I want it to be, honestly. But it's mainly just become a place for therapy, honestly. Okay. Like, kids who aren't even in my class come to my class to talk to me, just because they know that I love just giving advice, even though most of the time it doesn't make sense.
I think you just made me think of another thought I had, and it's probably because I thought we might cover this today. But when you said every time somebody asks me what I do, I give a different answer.
Right.
When people ask me what I do, I give them a different answer every time too. And here's why I do it. Cause I make a decision based on who I'm talking to and how interested they are in what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And if I'm getting a haircut and it's somebody that I see one time for 7 minutes, I just say, right. Oh, I'm an engineer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I see a family friend or a family member that doesn't know what I'm doing or something like that, like it's going to be a much different answer. Like, I'm curious if you guys think the same way, and actually it would benefit me. Like, I kind of know, I have a lot of people around me that work in schools, but Joe, what, I don't even really know what a para does. We're kind of recovering some ground we started with, but it might help me even.
So I'm in special ed. So
okay.
I work with all the special ed students. So like what you were saying, depending on who I'm talking to, I'd give a more detailed answer or go in more depth on the special ed aspect of it, but basically helping kids out, modifying or accommodating their learning instruction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard work, a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to fit kind of curriculum goals that were generalized to be more specific to their needs.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
Here's something that I'd be curious and see what you guys think too is, and maybe Joe, I don't know if you run into it any, but a lot of times when people ask what I do, whether it's in town or, you know, family or that don't, I don't really talk to, I kind of get like a, I kind of get a little bit of like attitude when I tell them that I'm a teacher sometimes. And it's almost what kind of leads me into like, yeah, I work with high risk students, but not every class I have is that way. But as soon as I mention high risk students, people like lay off and then think I'm like a saint.
Oh, really?
And I'm sure it's the same with you where you say, hey, I'm a para. And they might be like, oh, you work at this school. Because some people don't see schools as a great place.
Yeah.
And then you say, yeah, I work with the special ed department. And then it's just like they see the light. You know what I mean? Like you're doing the Lord's work at that point.
Yeah, I'd have to agree and with that.
And it's weird how like – it's just weird how – I guess I don't understand why education kind of gets so much crap. And when it comes to describing my job, when I was a bartender over the summer – I told people that I was a teacher and I worked with high-risk kids because that's what I was doing. And a lot of times it led to more tips, I'll be honest.
Oh, like, nice.
They knew I was a teacher. They knew I was working hard. Boom, there's some tips. Some people would come in and the first thing out of their mouth is like, oh, my kid's a teacher and they're a freaking idiot. So when they're like, what do you do? I'm like, hey, I'm an engineer. You know what I mean? Like, because I was just reading the room. And there's sometimes I'd straight up lie about what I did. Like, hey, what do you do? Well, most of the time I'm flying. I'm a pilot. Yeah. But taking the summer off and they're like, well, what do you fly? And I'm like, it's pretty complicated. And then I just try and change the subject. Yeah. I fly a lot of stuff that goes in the air. So, but I don't know the whole teacher and education thing, especially right now. I don't know how bad it is at Dubois, but like, you know, we got people on Facebook here in town that are blasting teachers every minute of the day.
Oh, and yeah.
What, you know, in March and April, we were the best people on the face of the earth right there next to nurses and doctors. And then as soon as everybody was like unsure about the new school year, it was like, you know, get back into the germ dungeon, you slave, like babysit my kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it turned and some people don't like teachers. So it's weird bringing it up.
I know. And I wonder if COVID will help that out because they actually had to sit down and help their kid with school.
Yeah.
And realize how hard it is.
Yeah. There's some parents that I know were like, day one, they were at the school at 4 a.m. ready to kick their kid out of the van. So, yeah. How about coaching wise? Everybody in town and Dubois knows each other. You can't escape that. Mm-hmm. Let's say you go out after a tough loss or a weird thing happened. Maybe it doesn't happen there.
Like you get a technical?
Yeah, that happened to me my first weekend this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But like, do you ever... Do people approach you and like angry after a game if you're like out on the town in Dubois, you know?
No.
If they see you at the grocery store?
No.
That's good.
And I guess with the girls team, this year there's only six kids I even have to worry about. So
wow, that's an easy rotation.
I only have to avoid six parents, so
right.
That makes it easier.
Man, those are going to be some tired girls after those games.
I know.
Like conditioning and defense. That's all you guys need to do this year.
Right.
Yeah. We don't get it too bad here. There's definitely disgruntled parents. I had actually I won't go into it because I'm pretty sure that their kid listens to this. Mm-hmm. But I had some disgruntled parents. They were under the assumption I said something that I didn't say. So going out in public sometimes after games, we've been told not to wear Spartan gear, just to not draw attention to ourselves sometimes, but
oh really?
Nobody's ever going to attack us or, you know, get in our faces or anything like that. But our town has a sense of entitlement. I mean, that's the only word I can think of. I don't know if you saw it in the news a couple years ago, our football team lost, by 100 points to Pierre, South Dakota, 102-0 or 103-0. Mm-hmm. And they wanted that coach's head on a spike.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because he got fired eventually, it kind of gave power to the wrong people. So coaches are kind of in a tough spot here. If you don't win, you're in trouble, which that's not what defines a program by any means. But,
yeah. And I think that's the difference between a big town and a town like Dubois, you know,
right.
A lot of people pay attention to high school sports.
Right.
Whereas they do kind of hear, but it's not looked as big a deal.
Yeah, it's not a make or break thing. Yeah.
And we haven't had success. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
We haven't had much success recently in basketball, so there's not as much pressure on us, I guess.
Well, and I feel like DuBois is a great enough community where they don't really care. It's a great thing for everybody to go and do on a Friday, Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody go pack in the gym. Let's go watch some basketball. Let's go watch volleyball, whatever it is. So I keep up with your guys' scores. I keep up with your games. I keep up with the football team, and I see that they score like 94 points because it's six-man football. And, but it's I don't know. It's cool knowing other people that are coaching. So
yeah, I'll definitely have to pick your brain some more.
Yeah, I plan on sending. I'm getting some stuff lined up for Todd and Jim as well. But I plan on sending both you and Kyle some Spartan gear, and then Todd and Jim as well, just because. Yeah. We're up to our eyeballs in it. I mean, that's the one benefit of being in a nice school as a nice budget is our coach loves gear and we have a lot of it. So
that'd be cool.
So, yeah, that'd be awesome.
I figured sending stuff your guys' way would be kind of cool. So
nice.
And if you're ever in the area during basketball season, which I have no idea why you would be, we can definitely get you into a game or practice, or honestly, we need you enough to play. So we need somebody that weighs more than 180 pounds. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah. So, what else you got, Todd? I know you got a lot of things on that list of yours.
Let's, I think it's time that we put some numbers to some random topics.
Okay.
So, let's start out with an easy one. I want to do breakfast burrito power ranking, breakfast burrito meat power rankings from Joe, since you and I clearly have talked a lot about every single food. And I kind of tipped you off that we'd be asking about it, Joe, but I'm trying to think of a good something easy that, you know, I'm not putting you too much on the spot, but it gives gives some insight.
First off, Joe, do you even like breakfast burritos?
I do.
Okay. I was gonna say we could end the podcast right here if you don't, but yeah, so I mean breakfast burritos, they could have everything.
I'm pretty basic. I like sausage and eggs in a burrito. I don't get too picky.
But if you gotta go, if you gotta give me an order, your top five. If we're talking bacon, chorizo, breakfast sausage, steak, how many is that? Is
four.
That four? And then what? Like maybe even
pork.
Yeah, pulled pork or chicken or something. What would you be? What would be 5-1?
I would say sausage first.
Okay.
Okay.
And then probably bacon.
Okay.
Then after that, I don't know, steak's not really up there.
Okay.
I can't do steak in the morning. I don't know what it is. I can't. It's just, I don't know. It's weird.
I think I had steak at number 2.
I can't remember what mine was, honestly. I've probably changed my mind 10 times since then.
Trees are always a good choice too.
Yeah.
I think that's what Yost had as number 1.
I think it was.
Nice.
Yeah. Chicken and stuff like that. Chicken does not seem like a breakfast item.
I agree.
I don't know what it is, but chicken does not seem like a breakfast item.
I was looking to see if we had documented our choices. I don't think we did. So
I know we need to go back and put all those down somewhere.
I would go with hash browns as the number 1. It's got to have hash browns in there.
Even so you're though thinking it's not meat. Like, no, but like eggs, maybe some cheese and some hash browns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe's a vegetarian, even though there's eggs in there. But wait, do vegetarians? No, they don't eat eggs. I'm sure, but I feel like some vegetarians just make it up as they go. Like today I'm eating eggs. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Vegan, definitely not. Vegetarian might.
So here's my thing with vegans. And I'm not trying to piss any vegans off. Honestly, I doubt we have any vegans that listen. But like, isn't there scientific evidence that there's some plants that like have like kind of a, they kind of have like a consciousness. They know what's going on around them and stuff. Like,
I think so.
If you're eating that, you're killing something that's, I don't know, just eat meat. It's delicious. Or don't, I don't care. Have you ever had the freaking Impossible Burgers?
I'm not eating that chemical soup.
Dude, well, I eat way worse shit than that, but dude, they're not that bad.
It's not real.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of things that aren't real that are delicious.
That's true, but I eat enough of them already.
Impossible burger ingredients, because I feel like it's water, soy protein, coconut oil, sunflower, and natural flavors. That's perfect.
That's
zero cholesterol, good source of fiber, calcium, potassium. I think I'm gonna become a vegan. Just only eat impossible meat.
You're gonna feel terrible really quickly.
I already do feel terrible. I gotta do something, Todd. I'm already on a bad way right now.
Well, that ain't it. I'm telling you right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I have strong opinions.
On everything or just veganism?
No, just on everything.
Just everything in general.
So, oh man. Okay, so going back to our rankings, Joe, I think since we're hitting hard on sports today, Yossi and I not long ago talked about sports championships. And I believe we said we started with pro sports championships, and then we did we basically said everything. So we kind of did a twofold list. So pro sports wise, we're talking about, I'm pulling
it
up.
And also pro sports included playoffs. So because March Madness was like one of the biggest ones on our list for the other, everything else, but it's not just a championship game. It's like the buildup. It's the whole bracket. Or in the NBA, it's like the NBA finals, you know, and all that stuff, not just game 7 or 5 or whatever.
Right. So pro sports, we're talking NBA finals, Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup. Or those are the four main pro sports that we figured we would rank. And then we went all around, like, so we could cover college, golf, and other stuff like that. So.
And I know NASCAR fans are... they're heated right now. We didn't bring them up. They're driving only left-hand turns to find us right now because they're pissed we didn't include the NASCAR championship, which I don't even know what that is, but
yeah. Daytona, I think it has to be something that's kind of easy to follow.
Yeah.
Not too many rules. But then I'm going to mention golf playoffs, and that's not easy to follow at all. It's kind of like NASCAR with the points and stuff. I'm kind of into that.
Yeah, I like that. I think for your benefit. So when we did, we ranked those, ordered those pro sports ones, but I think my top three all sports considered championships went number 3, Super Bowl, number 2, the Masters, number 1, March Madness.
Yeah.
Those were my top three, just all sports. Mm. I think I had the World Cup in there at like 4, 5.
Yep. I think I had World Cup, Olympics, I think I had I think it was World Olympics, World Cup, and then did I have the cricket national or the world championships in there? I had them. I had that somewhere because I'm not a big Super Bowl guy. So,
but yeah, you definitely did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would definitely agree with NCAA, March Madness, and then maybe college football playoffs.
Ooh, okay. The new format is pretty fun.
Yeah.
The new format's nice. I like it.
Tell you what though, I'm trying to think last year there actually were some really good games, which was nice, but I gotta be honest with you. I'm a little tired of seeing Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State every year.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I pay attention though. Cause I pick like a TCU or Boise State, you know, to be up there and then maybe get a chance. It never happens, but.
Yeah. I like the change, but it does get old seeing. I mean, it's like when the Warriors were in the playoffs every year, like it just gets old fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be picky about it because those are the best teams, like whatever, but it's just the same, you know, same names, same coaches, strong opinions. Same colors.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's finish what Joe thinks here. We got March Madness, college football playoffs.
And then Olympics is a good one.
Yeah.
NFL is good.
Right.
Yeah, not too far off from you guys, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, we all kind of grew up with the same stuff, too. And mm-hmm. Which kind of makes me wonder, what out of all sports, what do you follow the most? Like, what are you sitting down making sure you watch out of all sports?
Oh, college basketball.
College basketball, yeah.
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the nice thing about it is it's good pretty much all year round. Mm-hmm. Some sports like the NBA and stuff like that really don't get good until the playoffs, I feel like. So do you still follow Wyoming stuff quite a bit?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sometimes it's hard being a Wyoming fan, but
yeah, and they have
we're out here.
They have a new coach, so that's pretty exciting. And they're actually
for basketball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And they're having a decent season so far.
Yeah, I saw that. Which is kind of nice because like YouTube TV, so what we use for our television, I've been able to watch like every Wyoming football game on there. They don't broadcast as many basketball games. I don't think they really do until the conference play starts, but
yep.
Yeah,
I was kind of surprised. I was like glad that I could watch some of that stuff. So
yeah, for sure.
What are your thoughts on, did you watch any of the NBA bubble stuff?
No, I don't really watch much NBA at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting how they handled the whole thing. Not to mention, you know, however long they were in the bubble with however many people, and they never had an outbreak of cases. Like, I feel like everybody should be, you know, looking to them for answers on how to get this figured out, because mm-hmm. NFL is kind of struggling with it and college teams are. And mm-hmm. But it also, if you have everybody in one spot, it definitely makes it easier, which you can't do with the NFL.
Right.
So...
NFL's done a crazy good job of it, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't watch a ton of NBA either, but I just saw, like, they're two, three games into the regular season? Or maybe more yep. now, but...
They might be more.
But they already had to postpone a game, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And they only had to do, like, three in the whole NFL season, which is crazy to me.
Right. It's kind of crazy that like when all this stuff went down and the NBA, like it was pretty much Rudy Gobert that like started the whole thing in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like one man ruined it for everybody basically, which is crazy to me. But, and he was like joking around with it and like coughing on teammates and stuff like before the game, just to be funny. And then, yeah. So the season was canceled.
Wow.
I bet that was didn't feel very good about himself after that one.
Yeah.
Probably got a lot of hate.
He did. I think he got some death threats. So people are too quick with the death threats these days.
No kidding.
Like Chick-fil-A, I had to wait 20 minutes. I'm going to kill the person taking the orders. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. People are just too quick to be that angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are for sure. People are just angry in general. So
yeah, it's a very angry year.
Crazy. What else you got, Yost? Joe, what do you got?
Yeah.
What do I got?
Got any? What's on your mind?
Yeah, you got millions of people listening. What do you want to say to them? You know.
I don't know. Good question. I should have written something down, Todd.
No, so that's cool. I'm going to jump back into coaching again.
Okay.
Because we brought it up with my technical. Have you gotten a technical as a coach?
No, I've been close.
Okay. Have you gotten a technical as a player?
Yeah. And it was an accident.
Right.
I mean, that sounds like a good excuse, but
right.
I was just reaching my hand out to block a pass while yeah. they were inbounding.
Okay.
And I don't know if I was warned before that, but I got teed okay. up.
So not even like a bad situation no. to be in. It's just a rule. Yeah. Broke a rule kind of thing. Yeah.
And then actually the last game I coached, I was kind of pushing. I was like, you know, I might try to get a technical right now.
Yeah. Fire up the squad.
Yeah. And we kind of needed it.
What were you saying? Like, do you remember?
Well, there's one play where both the girls crashed to the floor and they didn't call okay. anything.
Right.
And she said incidental contact. Which okay. I don't know many refs that
yeah,
I've right. ever used that excuse. I was like, you got to call something there. I don't care if it's against our team or the other team, right. but
get control of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought they were just kind of losing control of the game.
Right.
Because kids were getting fired up and getting frustrated.
Oh, yeah. That's the easiest as a coach to argue when the game starts to get out of control, injuries are possible, mm-hmm. you know, tempers are flaring.
Yeah.
That's the easiest to sit and talk. But some refs, including the guy that I dealt with, they just have like zero tolerance. Somebody made them mad at some point and they're done. And they don't give you a warning. They just tee you up and make you sit on the bench. And yeah. So my situation, I've watched it back just to make sure I was justified. We were in Pierre playing them freshman game.
Uh-huh.
One of the lower level guys on the team got in the game. We had a steal. He's all the way down at our basket. So they airmail it down to him. Great pass. He gets ready to just do a simple layup. He bobbles it. So he kind of bends back over. A guy running full court for the LeBron James chase down block jumps in the air. And because he didn't shoot, lands on his back. Ref is right there on the baseline, didn't call anything. So I kind of like right then was like, I was like, okay, I know we saw it. Everybody at the gym saw it. Parents are losing their mind.
Yeah.
The kid that lands on his back gets up, starts ripping at his arms to try and get the ball.
Uh-huh.
My guy gets called for 3 seconds.
What?
So first off, never had really had possession. So whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I like leave my coach's box and I start walking towards the baseline and I say, wait a minute, what did you just call? And he's kind of aggressive and he says, I called 3 seconds, coach. And I was like, really? I was like, we didn't see the foul? And he goes, 3 seconds, coach. And I was like, hey, what game are you watching? Boom, nice. Boom, technical. Just gave it to me right there.
That was justified, I think.
Right. And honestly,
I mean, not that you got a technical, but that you
right.
went out on the
no.
court.
Yeah. It's kind of like, so our policy for the coaches, if you get a technical foul, you have to buy the rest of the coach's breakfast, which I'll probably do this week. Because the head coach doesn't love technical fouls unless it's like warranted. Mm-hmm. So he watched the video. He understood. Because he doesn't want it to be a thing where like the kids see the coach losing their mind and it creates a bad environment.
Sure.
Which I completely agree with. But it led to our guys getting fired up. We were down like 20 at that point, and we came back with an 8. And then another kid on my team got a technical because some kid clobbered him on a layup, and he said, it's about time, which he shouldn't have said, but he got a technical for it. So I kind of probably got that kid a technical too. But yeah, parents were kind of like, I'm not an outrageous coach by any means. I'm not a Brad Highstreet, you know, in his prime.
Yeah.
I like to stand up the whole game, and, you know, be loud and, you know, just teaching. It's rare when I lose my cool. And so the parents kind of thought it was cool too, that they got to see me fired up a little bit, which honestly, you couldn't hear me. I was just having a normal conversation with the guy and I asked him that question.
Yeah.
It's not like I was screaming at him from across the court. But yeah, I got that tech. I got a tech last year for the wrong numbers in my book, which was my manager's fault, not necessarily mine, but I should have done it myself. Those are kind of embarrassing though. Like a packed gym and it's just like, I don't like all of a sudden everybody's like, ooh, what did the coach do? You know?
Yeah. I've had those actually. I forgot about those a couple times. Not
getting the wrong numbers. Yeah. So the game I had it, got the technical. My head coach is pretty intense. He's a pretty intense guy. Super smart, though. I got the technical for the wrong number. He kind of glared at me for a little bit because it's an easy thing to fix, but he wasn't like mad. Mm-hmm. So we're playing Sturgis. Like the next time there was a sub, a bunch of my guys were going in, a bunch of Sturgis guys were going in. Boom, Sturgis didn't have a guy in the book.
Oh.
So they get a technical, but the coach is like walking out of the gym. And he hears the tech go off and he turns around and he just like could have killed me with his look because he thought it was me again.
Oh.
And I was like, nope, it wasn't me this time, I swear. So that was a kind of a scary moment, but
that's funny.
I want Todd to get into coaching.
I know.
I don't know. I'm so competitive is the problem. Like I would definitely lose my temper in a middle school girls game.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes you gotta, you know, sometimes you gotta, but I want you to be like, I want you to coach like Cheyenne's golf team.
That'd be sweet.
I can see Todd like throwing chairs at a golf tournament.
Realistically, what could you get upset at a golf tournament? You know, like, it's not like there's a ref making a bad call, unless it's like one of the judges or whatever you call them for golf, like does something sketchy. But
I know, really, you can only get mad at your players.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. I was just thinking about the throwing a chair thing while you guys were talking. I think a good goal, I'm going to give you guys this goal and you can decide to disregard it.
Yeah.
In your coaching careers, this is like a long-term goal.
Yeah.
Become stable enough and well, like respected enough that you're a good coach to the point where you can have a Bobby Knight chair throwing incident and still come back from that. You know what I mean? Oof. I feel like that's a rite of passage. But you have to be good, because if you're just like, then they're just like, that guy's fired.
That's next level. And it's such a different time from when he did that to now.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know how it is with you guys. And Dubois is kind of, to me, is great in the sense that it's still living in the golden era of, like, everything. Like, they haven't got to the overly sensitive people yet and all that yet, whatever. Because like right now, I can't genuinely get in a kid's face about something he did without having some sort of repercussions. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever need to, but you know what I mean? I can't, for example, this situation I had with a parent recently, the kid said that I said something when I never said anything. I didn't even talk to the kid that day. So we're at the point now where we're not even allowed to talk to players one-on-one without another coach being there. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
So throwing a chair to me seems like you're not even finishing the game, even if you are like coach of the year in South Dakota or Wyoming.
Well, maybe you need to pick up a coaching gig at like a summer league kids camp or something.
Yeah.
Do it out of state.
I don't know. Honestly, I love coaching and it's the perfect transition for me for my love of the game, but I can't play really anymore. But it is a very hostile, like political filled environment. And that could just be us, you know, because we're a bigger school and everything, but
true. I don't know. My only thought or advice is just have a thick skin. I always tell people that I don't argue with people unless I know I'm right. So,
right.
You know, and just have a thick skin about it. But
I don't lose any sleep over it.
Yeah.
A lot of people think they know what they're doing. And would absolutely crumble under the expectations of being even a freshman level coach. It's a lot of time in. Like, people don't realize that. I'm sure Joe and Kyle and all the other coaches there in Dubois, it's a lot of extra time in.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of stuff, thinking about the team and everything, outside of practice, outside of games and all that stuff. So I think a lot of people don't realize that, but
yeah,
they just kind of think you show up, be there for a couple months and then you're gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think I just remembered, Joe, you might have told me this, and I'd be curious if it's the same in Spearfish, Yost, but is there's a one sport rule? You can only coach one sport now?
No.
Is that the case in Dubois?
No.
No, okay. I thought I remembered you saying something about that. But
no, otherwise no. Mr. Chemley would, I don't know what he'd be doing.
What's he? So he's doing.
He coaches track, football, and wrestling.
God, hearing that name brings back memories.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, so here's a good question: what teachers are still there from when we were there?
That is Trembley, a good obviously. Yep. Tina Baker.
Okay.
Or old PE teacher.
Yeah.
Katie Siebold. She's elementary, but I don't even know if she was there when we were there.
Sounds familiar.
Janet Lee.
Yeah, Janet Lee. I remember her.
Joellen. She wasn't there, was she? The secretary.
No, I don't think so. I don't even remember who our secretary was. I don't think it was that, though.
I think that's about it.
Dang, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the people that were there when we were there, like High Street and Ballinger and all them, they were, you know, not that far from retirement.
Yeah.
Right.
Thomas moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really think of any other teachers, to be honest.
Oh, Miss Sayers.
Miss Sayers. Was she the art teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she still there? Holy moly.
Weren't you, were you in our freshman, well, I guess it would be my freshman art class?
I was in art like every year because I just kept like not doing anything.
Oh yeah. It was like Trent.
Yeah. I do think I was in that class. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of just nothing but messing around. And then same with Ballinger's wood shop class. I almost failed that class because I wouldn't turn anything in because I didn't know what I was doing. And I got to the point where I was going to be ineligible. And Tim Bell went to the lumber yard and bought a bunch of wood for me and had Mike Shaw build a box for me so I could get a grade. That's how bad I was in that class. So shout out to Mike Shaw for getting me through wood shop. Yeah, I can't. I'd love to go back to the school and, you know, watch a basketball game and just see what that school's like. Mm-hmm. But I would be 100% a complete stranger now. Like, I don't go back ever. I really don't keep in touch with many people. Like, it might be kind of nice just to walk in as a stranger and then get handcuffed because, like, what are you doing just walking around the building? I wouldn't know anybody there anymore.
I think I'm in the same boat pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
You should see our new gym floor, though. It's pretty cool.
Is it?
Yeah, they just redid it.
Did they do something cool with it, or did
let's see, like the 3-point arc is colored in blue.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
And then there's mountains on the sideline.
Nice,
like the Absaroka Mountains.
That's a cool look.
Yeah, it's way cool.
And that's like nice for a small gym like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember much playing in that gym. I really missed the high school gym. Todd and I were talking about that. It had a really good environment.
Mm-hmm. It was the old school, like loud and compact. And
yeah, wooden bleachers and just a good time.
Concrete walls 3 inches off the court.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, even after 7 years of coaching in the gym we're in now, it still doesn't feel like home or like, you know what I mean?
Right, yep. Yeah, there was something about, I don't know, there's just something about that old high school. The scorer's table kind of tucked back in there.
Yeah.
And
I'll be honest.
How close the chairs were to the sideline.
Yeah.
Well, there's like that 4-foot wall, like up to the bleachers. Like it was pretty wild. But that practice in that old high school gym felt different than the practicing in the gym that you're in now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. And it's like I said, it's cool that like you're there, you know, giving back, coaching and all that stuff. And like you went through all that stuff of, you know, same with Kyle too. You guys went through the old school times and now you're living in the new school. So,
yep.
Good times, good times.
Yep.
Anything else you got, Todd?
I really don't. I don't, we just wanted to get a guest on and get some rapid fire and have some discussion. I think we've done that pretty well.
I do have two things I'm going to mention about Joe.
Okay.
The first one, and I brought up before we started recording, was Joe's stocking cap.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of hope you still just wear it all the time, but I know you don't. But when growing up, Joe, middle of summer, middle of winter, playing football, or sitting in a classroom, as far as I know, was always just known to have his like beanie on. It just became like what Joe is known for.
Yeah, I do.
And then the other thing, and it's a really random memory from college, or you know, from us living at the North 19th house or apartments in Laramie, mm-hmm. was Joe as an engineer staying up till 1 a.m. doing homework, basically like one math problem, as far as I knew, and we'd have our door open and we had cable on in our apartment with John and Nick. And I'd be sitting on the couch, like on my phone or something. And it was like clockwork. Joe would come over at like 12:30 or 1 a.m, brushing his teeth, like full on getting ready for bed, brushing his teeth. And he would just watch like the top 10 plays of SportsCenter and then go to bed.
Really? Like, I don't even remember that.
Yeah. You would just peek in like long enough just to catch like the top 10. Cause it was like the last episode. You'd just be sitting there brushing your teeth while it was going on. As soon as those others see it, and then you go to bed.
Well, you used to joke that you knew what day of week it was because of how high my hair was. Because I'd be pulling it out by the end of the week.
Yeah, end of the week, Joe's kind of got like curly hair. And the beginning of the week, Monday, it's down. It's like he's ready for the week. And as like the stress level increased Thursday and Friday, it would just be like not Frazier. It would be like a Kramer level high because he's just getting frustrated. And then we went and, you know, handled our stress like any college kid does and drink ourselves into oblivion. So yep. there were some fun times at those North 19th.
Yeah, apartments. For sure.
So that's Joe, we're glad you could make it on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, one of the more consistent guys, and we don't see each other very often, but when we do, you know, we pick it up right where we left off. And Todd and Joe have been friends for a long time. Joe, you're a good dude. You're glad you're coaching and you're teaching and giving back, and appreciate you having been on the show.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, me too.
Also, thanks for listening. Thanks for being one of the people that are tuning in every once in a while to the podcast. And
yeah, it's awesome. Keep up the good work.
Yeah,
we'll see if we gain any listeners now that they want to listen to you on here, Joe.
Right, and honestly, this is how I saw a podcast going when it came to one of our childhood friends, like reminiscing, talking through stuff, you know, just kind of going back and doing that stuff instead of, you know, when we get Dan Starks on here, you know, we're gonna grill him and try and figure out how to get his social security number and his debit card number so we can get some money from him. But, but this is exactly what I want in a guest on the show, you know, a conversation, picking your brain and just catching up, you know?
So. Yeah, it was fun.
Nice. You got anything else, Todd?
I don't. That's it.
All right, guys, until next time. Hopefully maybe this week we'll do another one. We'll talk to you guys soon. Todd, Joe, thanks again.
Thanks everybody. Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
Thanks guys. See ya. We'll be right back.